Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host, and I'm so glad you're with me today because one of my favorite guests is here, and I want you all to meet Beth Heidorn. Beth is the executive director of the Racine Zoo, and we're going to talk about lots of things that are coming up at the zoo. I just said to her as we were getting ready, I couldn't believe the list of activities that are coming up in just in the next few months, not to mention throughout the summer. So Beth, good morning and welcome.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm just so glad that you could be here. So tell me how the winter has been at the Racine Zoo. So many of us don't get there in winter. And do we have animals that like winter and some that don't come out in winter?
Yeah, we do. Actually, winter was not terrible this year. You know, we always have events even in the wintertime. Our winter picnics in a snow globe was really popular, especially right around the holidays.
Oh.
So that really worked out well. We were able to get people that were visiting their family. We had grandparents have, like, it was grandparent night with all the grandkids, and they let their adult children go off and about, and you know, so it was a really great experience this year for our winter picnics. And we didn't, you know, it wasn't terribly cold. I mean,
right.
We had some bitter days, but it wasn't like extended periods of time, which was really nice. So probably other than the staff who are walking from building to building with animal food and the hay they've got to put down and the bedding for the animals, I think our animals fared really well. Our animals up at Land of the Giants, our rhinos and zebras, they're up there. They can't be out in this kind of temperature or mm-hmm. that kind of temperature that we had just a few,
yes.
few months ago. I think the grounds probably took the more beating. You know, you've got, just like my yard at home, I really need to rake that right now. It's kind of like that same feeling now that all the snow's gone. You're like, oh, shoot. Now we've got these. Now we got to do a spring cleaning day. So
right. This was all covered
up. It's unending. Yeah,
right.
Marcia, for sure.
Can I ask you, are you going to do the snow globe events next winter again?
Yeah, we did them a little bit differently this year than we did in the past. We did theme nights. So we did the holiday, like Christmas holiday in December, and that was cookie decorating and things like that with it as an activity that was in the globe. Then we had wine nights. We had pizza nights on our pizza on Sundays. So we themed it up a little bit differently just to, you know, hit more of the audiences that are out mm-hmm. there, that are, so that we could tailor it to them. And that seemed to work really well. We're going to evaluate after at the end sure. of every season on what we're going to do for the following. We'll do something. I just don't quite know what yet.
What it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and I missed it this winter, and
oh,
I
shoot.
Really would have just loved to have grandkids and friends in.
Yeah.
So I'm fingers crossed you're going to do
okay.
it again.
I'll figure something out for you, Marcia,
okay.
for sure.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. So what animals like the colder weather? What animals are out and about? And now, given that we're in April already, is everything out now, or is it still too cold for some of our animal friends?
Yeah, so in the wintertime, most of our animals that are here are used to our weather. We have our Amur tiger, Chiang Bai. They're from Siberia, so they are fine with this kind of temperature. But our lions, on a nice winter day, with that sun coming down, they would sit outside. So they're
really?
Used to that, the mom and the daughter. Our kangaroos actually don't mind it, and they're from Australia. So it just, you know, it really depends. But our rhinos, zebras are our Land of the Giants, African animals. They were not out during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
They just can't be. There's snow and there's ice, and we want to
sure.
keep them safe. So they were not out, but everything else was. Our penguins, our African penguins, people always think penguins are cold weather, and there's I think there's 17 or 18 species. Hardly any of them are really cold weather. Most of them don't live in the cold, and ours don't either. So you could see them through the glass, but ours are African penguins. So ours are going to be from the southern part of Africa. They're not from a cold weather climate. So they were out. People could see them, but they were not outside of their exhibit enclosure. They were inside the back, and people could see them through the glass. So, but most people, most of the animals that could be out were out. We have our goats, we have our sheep, and then of course everything inside the castle, everything there was open. Our orangutans were there, our Cape porcupines were inside, our emperor tamarins were around, our spider monkeys, those types of things. Everything was out and about. And then our Discovery Center, where we have more of our reptiles, our bats, that type of stuff. So people could still see everything except for our African animals.
Okay. And when will the African animals be kind of climatized and ready to come out?
Well, this past weekend they were actually out because we had 70-some degrees on Friday. But now yesterday and today it's chilly, it's windy. So it's all about temperature and ambient temperature. So, you know, it can, you know, when it's 30 degrees, but it could still feel like 12. I mean, all of us humans are the same way. We're like, oh, that might be a little cold. So they've been in and out. It really is weather dependent. I mean, that's the only challenge. One of the challenges that we have here at the zoo is we're a weather dependent zoo. If it's pouring out rain like it did on Sunday, not so many people here. Last Friday, beautiful weather, lots and lots of people. So, but we're getting there. We're getting there where our daytime temperature is more consistent. At that, you know, 50, 60 degrees. And it's just, as long as the nights don't get so cold, everything will start to change. Just like the flowers are starting to bud and or the trees are starting to bud and the flowers, you can see our daffodils pushing through the ground.
Yeah. So what's the secret to getting a big animal out of their house and then back into their house?
Well, they all like their enclosures.
Okay.
So it is just, you know, right now the North End animals can't come out because it's not consistent in weather. Many of the animals get fed at night. They get fed in the morning. They get fed at night. They get enrichment put out into their enclosures so that it is their happy place. And so it every keeper and our animal care staff are just really great with the animals. So they put them out and they put them in, and sometimes it's the sound of a gate that's opening where they know they're going to go back of house that triggers them to go in. And sometimes it's the keeper just saying, hey, come on back. Everyone is very, very different. So
interesting.
Each of our routines are, we have very specialized animal care staff that are taking care of them also.
That's amazing. That's amazing. How do you find your staff? When you have an opening, do you put an ad out somewhere? Do you get the word out? How do you find these great people?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So, like, if we have an opening in our animal care department to be a keeper, we always post that on the Association of Zoos and Aquariums website. We're a member, we're an accredited member of AZA. There's 251 of us, zoos and aquariums of the over 3,000 places that hold animals in the United States. We're one of 251 that are accredited with AZA, so the very high gold standard. We always post it on there. We get a lot of great resumes coming in. We're in the process of hiring our summer seasonals for animal care right now, and that's where I think 99% of those applications came from. So for that, but this past weekend, we just had a hiring fair for our gift shop, our grill, our train drivers, our bartenders. As we get into high season, we have a lot of need for those, our janitors, our events. And we had over 50 people come in a three-hour time frame to want to work here. Everything from 15-year-olds all the way up to 70-year-olds and everything in between. So it was a really great hiring fair. It was going to be incredibly hard for us to narrow that down to the positions that we have available.
Well, and I can vouch for being a summer employee at the zoo. My daughter worked a couple of summers and just loved her time there. And she was like, she worked at the gate. I mean, it wasn't anything really exciting, but, you know, she and a couple of friends were working together and it was, you know, in that beautiful environment. And I'm so pleased to know that you're still able to do those summer employees.
Yep, absolutely. And we love them here. And so it was a great thing, and we'll get as many as we can hire on and hope they all say yes to us.
Oh, good. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, you mentioned events people, and I definitely want to talk about, you've got so many events. And in fact, this is airing on April 12th, and that's one of your events that will be going on like that night.
That night, yes.
But yeah, but tell me about, let's see, I'm going to look right at this fabulous list. Next week is the extravaganza. Do I have to sign up for that in advance? What's that going to look like? Because it sure sounds like fun.
Yeah, so extravaganza is our Easter event. It's always the Saturday before Easter, and it is from 10 to 4. So this year it is on the 19th of April, Saturday from 10 to 4. Our guess, if we track from the last 5 years, we should probably be around the 3,000 people attendance for that day. It all depends on the weather and when Easter falls. So when Easter falls at the end of March, like if that would have been last weekend, I would have been a little sad just because it was it was chilly out. But I'm hoping we're now here in the middle of, going to be in the middle of April. So we have, it's a value added for members. So, or anyone who pays. Once you pay to get into the zoo, you get to be participating in all of the activities that are happening inside the zoo. So we have cluck doors. There's six of those. They're scattered throughout the zoo. So it's our version of an egg hunt, for lack of a better description. Okay. And the kids will get to go around, knock on the door, and there'll be a volunteer that will hand them candy. Or it might be a pencil. It depends on which, you know, you want to hit all six of those. And then right now, I just had a few more come in recently. We'll probably have about 20 to 25 business booths. So those are community organizations or businesses that want to talk to the guests about their business, but also provide the kid with candy or stickers or pencils or something like that so that they're actually hunting as well. It's like a trunk hunt and getting things from all of those people as well as what we're going to be giving out. So we ourselves have 18,000 pieces of candy and stuff because every cluck door has to have 3,000 pieces so that we can satisfy all the kids that are going to be coming our direction. So it's really, really fun. We have bounce houses that will be coming. Ooh. We have egg decorating. We have cookie decorating. We have excellent crafts.
I love it.
And word has it that the Easter Bunny is coming to us before he's going to be going to your house on Sunday. So we've got the Easter Bunny here, and he's going to be taking photos with all the kids or whoever wants to go get a photo. It's $5 to get a photo with the Easter Bunny. It's just really going to be a great day. It's what I really like about that event, Marcia, is that it's very multi-generational. So you've got people that are visiting the grandparents, or you've got the grandparents visiting the kids that are here, and then they're their kids, and sometimes their kids' kids. So it's that really feel good. That's what I love about Easter too. It's just that really feel good kind of holiday. So we're really excited, and we will be busy. The gates open at 10. We will have people lined up about 9:15. So it's going to be a crazy day, but it's going to be a really great day. People can enjoy it. And, oh, by the way, we got a lot of animals here. We got 75 species of animals here.
Come and visit them.
So not only are you having a fun time here, you're also getting that animal fix for that particular day.
Right. Now, I don't need to register in advance.
No,
I just pay at the gate. That day.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to bring my own Easter basket, or is there something I'm going to get to collect all this good stuff?
We prefer people to bring their own Easter baskets. We have not done Easter baskets, which were basically a plastic bag, for the last couple of years because we're trying to, you know, reduce our plastic use. Sure. So most people, and I love it because the kids bring, you know, they look like a duck or they look like a bunny rabbit, and they're just so cute. And so most people bring their own. If somebody needs something, I would assume we'll find something, but we prefer people bring their own stuff.
Nice. Any ages?
All ages. Yep, ages 3 to older. Everything. We're actually doing a special on that day. We are doing everybody that day for. Oh, gosh, I forget. I know we're doing a special on extravaganza. I can't think of it. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. If it comes to you, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But right now, everything is 2 and younger is always free here at the zoo. They will never charge. So it's really just going to be that kind of a great day. And our prices, we try to be very affordable. We're one of the most affordable zoos in the country, which is great because we want people to come here and ultimately become stewards of the planet and all of those good things. So
exactly. You know, before we go to break, and we've got a few minutes before we have to do that, you were talking about your AZAA mm-hmm. membership. Mm-hmm. And so often I hear people say to me, well, I just hate zoos. They have all those animals in cages. But can you talk about why species survival is so critical and why zoos play a very important part in the survival of the species?
Yeah. So, you know, we're incredibly fortunate as humans, no matter where you are, especially here in southeastern Wisconsin, to be able to see animals that some of their counterparts are extinct in the wild. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? There are 5 species of rhinos. We happen to have eastern black rhinos here. But northern white rhinos, there's only 2 left in the world. They will be extinct in our lifetime. So by getting people close to our animals, they're going to have empathetic views to being able to take care of those animals. We take care of what we know. It's not just some obligatory animal that lives in a faraway country. All the animals that we have, And those people that say, well, they should be in the wild. You know what? Okay, well, then let's take care of the wild where these animals came from. Because our animals don't know anything different. They were not from the wild. We are 102 years old, this zoo is. Zoos and aquariums don't take animals from the wild like in the past old days, which is what happened back then. It doesn't happen now. And so these animals wouldn't know how to exist in the wild anyway because
they're born in captivity.
In human care, exactly. Yep. Exactly. So our gold standard of care is to make sure that these animals are healthy, happy, mentally engaged, physically engaged, because what we want to do is make sure that we can perpetuate the species because we don't want animals to go extinct. And I don't think anyone of your listeners wants animals to go extinct either. So part of our job is to make sure that we provide the best care for them in order for them to perpetuate their species. And sometimes what it is that we are holding an animal because another zoo, so we get most of our animals from other zoos, and it could be that the species survival plan for that particular animal, there's a group of scientists that determine who's going to breed with who because of the genetic makeup of that particular animal. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we only have boys. We will have just a bachelor group of a certain group of animals because other zoos are going to be breeding them. So we could potentially be a holding space for a group of males because we don't want them to be sitting back of house somewhere, so they're here. Or that happens throughout zoos all over the place. It's for what's good for the animal, which is really why we exist. We are here for these animals to be their caregivers, and then we want them, and many of them are ambassadors for their species, so that we can bring that understanding to our guests each and every day of the week.
I love that. That is so important and so misunderstood. I had no idea white rhinos were going to be gone.
The northern ones. The southern ones are still, they're in danger, but they're okay. But the northerns they'll be gone in our lifetime. There are species probably in this world that we don't even know. And they've come and gone. I mean, just think about it. The vast array of the ocean depths. We don't know everything that's down there. You know what I mean? So we are incredibly blessed to be able to take care of amazing creatures and help people understand them, be empathetic to them. Because we want everyone to care for our wildlife and wild places. I mean, even if it's your own backyard, you still want to take care of the little wild animals that live back there, even if it's a bug.
Right.
And your own backyard. So that's kind of where my thought process is.
Oh, that's wonderful. I so appreciate you talking a little bit about that, because I'm always caught off guard when I hear that, because I love the zoo. And so it always takes me a minute to get my head around it all. So
yeah, it's all good. We appreciate you for that.
Well, I appreciate you. We're at a point we're going to take a really quick break just for a little station identification. You are listening to Community Matters right here on WGTD. My guest today is Beth Heidorn. Beth is the executive director of the Racine Zoo. And we've been talking about a number of things, but mostly we want to talk about some of these great upcoming events that are happening that I just can't encourage you enough to take advantage of. We talked about the Eggstravaganza coming up next week, and it sounds like just a wonderful activity for kids and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and everybody. But bring your own Easter basket or whatever you'd like to collect things in. And be there early. You suggest people come before the 10 o'clock start time.
Yeah, I would suggest that they do that. Get in line, get ready to go. But we are open till 4. Last admission is at 3:30 in the afternoon. I believe there's also a couple of other egg hunts throughout Racine County. So if you're lucky, you can probably hit a couple of them and really gather those Easter eggs up.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, the next event after that is a Mother's Day event, and it's a Mother's Day brunch. So tell me what that's going to look like on Sunday, May 11th.
May 11th. Yep, that's Mother's Day. It's from 11 to 12:30, and we sold out last year. So please tell your listeners, if you're thinking of something to do really nice for mom, you're going to want to come out to this event. It's a fabulous brunch. Ivanhoe's does the brunch for us for this particular event. They always have such amazing food. And the kids, there'll be crafts for the kids to make for mom so that they can be entertained, make something, and then give it to mom right there on the spot, which works really, really nice. All the moms get greeted with a rose. And then I'm usually the one handing those out, and I make sure that the kids, even the adult children, give their mom a rose. So if a son brings his mom, he's going to give his mom a rose and hand it to her before I let him go in, because I think it's just cute and I love it. And that worked out really slick last year, so we're probably going to do that again this year. And then it's just seriously, it's great food. The moms love it because they're being taken care of. We have unlimited mom-mosas. So that the moms get a little champagne, get a little bubbly, get some orange juice, hang out with the family. And this is one of those multi-generational ones where you truly, there was one family last year that went all the way down to a great-great-grand, I can't remember if it was a son or a daughter. So there was 5 generations in one family. And then we have people that will take pictures so that you get to capture that audience. We'll have a great giraffe presentation. And then we sometimes have other giveaways for moms. We do whatever we can for moms because moms deserve it. We know that. So we like to take care of them on that day. And again, get your tickets early. I know people like to just wait till the last minute, but you can't really do that for zoo events. They are selling out faster and more often than not. So we want to put that plug in there.
Tell me where, if I'm coming to the brunch, where do I eat? Is it outside? Is it inside? Is it where?
Yeah, so you're going to enter the front entrance of the zoo, and you're going to head towards our northern part of the zoo. So it's up by our pavilion, and then we have a large tent. So everyone eats under a tent, and if it's chilly out, we put the sides down and turn the patio heaters on. If it's a beautiful day out, we pull the sides up and don't turn the patio heaters on. But it's a great big space. It's like a 60 by 90 foot tent.
Oof.
We had 210 people there last year, I believe it was. So there's plenty of room for everybody to do that. And it's and they can come and they can eat and they can engage with their families. Steins does all of our table decorations. And if everyone's lucky, someone at the table will win one of those mum displays, which is just kind of just another value added for the folks that come to the event. So it works. I mean, it really just works out great. And it's only an hour and a half. You can still go do something else with mom, you know, go for a walk down the lake or something like that. So I'm excited. And you're right on Lake Michigan. You're helping the zoo take care of our animals with our vet care. And, you know, as expenses for food go up for the animals, we still want to make sure that they get taken care of. And it's a great day to say, hey, mom, let's go take a walk at the zoo. We get a picture. We hang out. It's a safe place, a great spot for people to walk. It's not very hilly, so even if you've got a grandmother or great-grandmother you want to bring, we still are the right spot for that.
Perfect. Perfect. And you said about 200 people, 200 and some, is your max.
Yep.
So people really do need to get those reservations in quickly.
They do, and we get them every day. So we had about four of them come in this morning, so it's great.
Now can I just call the zoo and make that reservation over the phone, or do I have to go online? How do I do it?
Yeah, just go online. There's a green bar at the top of our webpage, and go to events, do the drop-down, go to Mother's Day, and then you can buy as many tickets as you want. The prices are right on there, the member rate, the non-member rate, the adult rate, the kid rate, and all of that. But again, two and younger is always free, so... We'll get a lot of strollers up there too that day, and that's okay. I love it. I absolutely love it.
And it's okay if the grandmas come on their scooters or
absolutely.
Whatever they need to do?
If they need to, you bet. That is not a problem.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Oh, that sounds like the mimosas sound even better. So.
I know, right? Right. Sometimes we have Bloody Marys there too. There's always a little bar at the zoo.
Oh, that's good. Okay, well, talking about Bloody Marys, there's an event on May 17th called Bloody Mary Fest.
Yep.
Holy
I love God. This event. I love this event. So right now we have Buddy's Vodka is going to be our vodka sponsor. So what we do is we work with different bars and people that say they've got the best Bloody Mary mix. Okay, you bring it. We'll provide the vodka. We provide the glasses, the ice, the napkins, anything they need. But a competitor just needs to bring their mix and whatever their garnish is going to be.
Ooh.
And then we get all of our guests that come. We get about 350 people for Bloody Mary Fest. So there's quite a few people. It's also up at the pavilion and the tent. So the same tent that we use for Mother's Day, we use for Bloody Mary Fest. Right. And there's places for people to sit. We've already got reservations for Bloody Mary Fest because people love this event, and I love this event. I like Bloody Marys, but I'm pretty particular, and I'll tell you, man, it is hard to judge, which is why I have celebrity judges. I don't have them all, but I've got one person coming from TMJ4. That's my first one for this year, and then we'll get the other ones. We usually have 3 to 5 judges, and then they pick the best Bloody Mary. So just say you're a person, like you, Marcia,
yep.
And you say, oh man, I make a great Bloody Mary. You could sign up yourself to be a competitor. You don't have to own a restaurant to be a competitor this year. We do have a couple of people last year that they just said that they make a great Bloody Mary, and we said, put your money where your mouth is. And one of them came in second, which was great. And everyone goes, where's your bar? And they said, we don't have a bar. We're just people. It was fabulous.
Oh, wow.
It was just fabulous. So we decided to open it up for more people this year to do that same thing. And then we also have ready-to-drinks. And the ready-to-drinks are great as well. And it's really a fun day. And that is from 11 to 2 on Saturday the 17th. So, and, you know, you will have food there as well, which works out great. Food is part of every one of our events, and we've just take it in instead of, you know, having someone, a food truck or something, that someone has to go buy something. The food's always included in our stuff. It's just easier for us, and it's, and people love it because now it's already taken care of, and they don't have to worry about it. So we've got groups that come out, they bring their own like muffin tin pan so that they can get six drinks at the same time and then go sit down and judge. Oh, Marsha, I'm not kidding. Like, it's fabulous. And we sell some of those as well. So it's a 5.5 ounce cup, and they fit perfectly into the little muffin tin. The people will go get six of them. They'll go sit down. They'll chat with their friends. So there's a public vote, and then there's a judge's vote.
Okay.
And there's
okay.
the best garnish. So it's a full day, little extravaganza of some sort from 11 to 2 on the 17th for Bloody Mary.
No kidding. Boy, day drinking and food. That's like, oh, what better?
I know, right?
Now, if I want to be a competitor, how many people should I bring enough tomato juice and mixers and all that?
Yeah, so we would tell you about a week before where we're sitting with registrations.
Okay.
And then we close off registrations no later than the Wednesday before the event on a Saturday. It allows us to get our catering numbers in. It allow, and then we guess, like, okay, if we think that we're at, we'll say 300, knowing what's happened the last couple of years, we know 20 people are going to call me up the day after going, oh, I forgot to get my registration. And we always save some, so we will have told the competitors how many people you're going to make a drink for. And
okay.
It could be 300, and it could be 400. We sell that event to 500 if we ever got there. But that's, I would always max out at 500 anyway for that event.
Yeah.
But we would let the competitors know, and they can get the form to fill that out. If you go to our website, do the event page, or do the event, go to drop down, do Bloody Mary Fest. It tells you if you're interested in being a competitor, you click on a thing, and it's right there. And then you send that in to me, and we take care of it.
Now, is there a fee for me being a competitor?
No, there's no fee to be a competitor.
Okay, I just underwrite the cost of the
whatever you're mixing and garnishing, that's on you. I cover all your vodka.
Okay, wow.
And glasses and ice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So how many years has this been going on?
We've been doing Bloody Mary Fest. I think this is our fifth year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so. you mentioned 300 people. Do you get that many?
Yes, we do. I'll sell to five. Last year, I think we had 363. So we're kind of, you know, 300 to 350 is usually what books. I think last year people were just like, I had a different vodka sponsor, and I don't know if they told people to come. I have no idea, it's, people love this event. If you like a Bloody Mary, you like a Bloody Mary. And this gives you the opportunity to taste a bunch of them. But we also have non-drinking tickets. We're not just all about, you know,
partying
here. So we have non-drinking tickets. And then we also have a bar that some people just like, I just want a beer. All right. Right over there.
Where
you can go get one
of
them. You know what I mean? So someone's coming along or they don't want to drink. So here's your water. Here's your pop. That's on us if you're a non-drinker. So, or the designated driver, however that particular group wants that person to be.
Now, is the zoo open that day?
Yep. Yeah, we're open every day except Christmas Day. So you have access. You'll get a wristband at the front entrance.
Okay.
So that's the only way you have access into the event space is, and then we have a, believe it or not, we have a little bouncer there at the front of the pavilion area to make sure that it's those that are participating in the event. But the zoo is open, so feel free to go come on that day and go see the zoo without doing the event if that's
And I would think even just watching the event might just be entertaining in and of itself. So
it's fun. We've got music too and everything. So
that's amazing. That is absolutely so that's May 17th.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Then on Thursday, May 22nd, it's Member Appreciation Night.
Yeah.
So I'm a member. How do you appreciate me that night?
All right. Well, you'll be getting a postcard in the mail shortly about that event. So it's from 5 to 8, and we feed everybody dinner.
Ooh.
It is from Danny's, so you'd have a choice of hot dogs, burgers, cheeseburgers, they make some veggie burgers for us for those that have that as a preference. So we feed everybody, and there's dessert. They'll get cupcakes or cookies. It kind of depends on what our partner wants to serve that day. We've had mm-hmm. cupcakes the last couple of years. The zoo is open. We have music for the kids. Jeannie B and the Jelly Beans is coming back out, and she's a child entertainer.
Yeah.
So she will be down in the amphitheater playing music. She's got just a really jazzy little group that's with her, and she teaches the kids to sing, and they play with hula hoops, and it's just an engaging sort of music for the kids, which works out great. The kids will have games that they can play with our education staff. There's going to be crafts that the kids get to make, and I'll have our board of directors will be here thanking everyone for coming. And it's a really fun night, 5 to 8. You just have to be a member in good standing by May 8th in order to be able to come to the event.
Okay.
And we usually have around 1,800 people that will come for that, and we have just about 2,000 member households. And if you look at 2,000 member households, and it's an average of 4 people per household, that's 8,000 people that are part of the Racine Zoo family as one of our members. And about 1,800 of those will come to the zoo that night, because we have members that don't even live in the state anymore,
right?
But they still want to support the zoo. They still like to get our newsletter, and which is great, and that's perfectly great. They'll see us, you know, every 3 or 4 years when they come back to visit. But mm-hmm. I appreciate those. I can't fly them in. I'll take care of the ones that are here. But it does work out really, really great, and it's just our way to thank everybody.
Now, we've talked about a number of events. Are there discounted prices for members on all of the events that we've been talking about?
Yeah, the ones that we've been talking about, yes, there are some non-discounted events. And it's just more that sometimes the costs are, you know, we've got to make sure that the event works,
yeah.
And we've got to help pay for the costs. But most of the events and members also get discounts for birthday parties. They get discounts for spring break camp. For summer camp, those are already, we're booking those as well. Spring break camp is the 21st this year. It coincides with RUSD spring break. So that's just why spring break is the 21st, the week of the 21st. And then summer camp starts after school gets out. So those are discounts for them. Depending upon the level of membership, you also get discounts for Animal Cracker tickets.
Uh-huh.
And there's encounter tickets that come along with your membership. You can go anywhere from an individual all the way up to, $1,000. So membership runs across the gamut so that it can deal with whatever people need. Mm-hmm. And it's $50 for an individual all the way up to our club, Safari Club, and that's $1,000. So whatever works for each individual person and or family.
Great. Oh, my gosh. Is there more than one member appreciation night during the year?
No, just the one. And it's always the Thursday before Memorial Day.
Okay.
Since the dawn of time, it's always been the Thursday before Memorial Day. To us, that is our kickoff to summer. And that is our event. You know, we're doing it just a couple days before Memorial Day. And I think that's when everyone is very happy that summer is just so close to being upon us. So it works out really well. And again, a great night, 5 to 8. And it's become a member. If you're not a member, become one, and you can come to the party.
Right. Yeah,
do
it now.
Or renew your memberships. Yeah. Lots of renewals at this time of the year because people love to come to Member Appreciation Night.
Yep. And the family membership is really a great deal.
It really is. It's two adults and up to 4 kids in the same household. I mean, you just can't beat it. And we have free parking. I mean, other zoos and aquariums across the country, you pay to park. I like the fact that ours is, there's no pay to park. You park,
right.
Come on in, have a great time, and you don't have to spend all day to get the value. And that's also what I like, is because we're so reasonably priced that it's okay if you just come for an hour and you have to leave. That's cool. We're okay with that. As long as you just keep us in your heart and heart and minds.
Absolutely. And I know I often tell people it's such a great zoo, not only because it's a park on a lake, for heaven's sakes, but it's also small enough that little kids can do the whole thing mm-hmm. and not be exhausted or cranky, you know, by the time exactly. they've only gotten through a third of it.
Right.
And I think that's one of the best things that we have going for us.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Marcia.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. All right. Now we're looking at June.
Yes, ma'am.
And probably my all-time favorite event is Breakfast with the Giraffes coming up on June 7th.
Yeah, we got three of those dates this summer, one in June, one in July, and one in August. And we sold out in 36 hours. All three sold out in 36 hours. It was crazy. I mean, the people look for that particular event. I mean, it's a wonderful breakfast. It's our great partners from Labor Only, believe it or not, coming out of Illinois. They really help us with this particular event. And the menu is listed online. It's a more of a Spanish sort of breakfast. They have a great time. They make crafts. They see animals. They get a giraffe presentation. It's just really fun. And it's a intimate, you know, 50 people per each one of those. And they have a great time. And everyone's asked, can you add more? And I can't this year. We'll look to add more next year. But we've got three that are sold out. So I'm sorry that I've disappointed some people. I've made 150 people very happy, however. So sometimes I have to take that to the bank.
Oh, I can't believe we're almost out of time. And I know we want to talk a tiny bit about Animal Crackers that's coming up. But summer camps are starting to fill up.
Yes, they are. And what we did this year differently is that you could sign, because kids do so, parents have their kids doing so much in the summer, which is great. You could sign up for just morning class. You could sign up for just afternoon class. You could sign up for just 1 week or 2 weeks, or you could sign up for all day. I mean, we're really tailored to the families of what they need. And I think that's worked out really well. And those registrations are coming in all the time. Age 3 all the way up to kids entering 7th grade.
Wonderful. There's still time to buy Animal Crackers tickets, whether you buy for the full season or each event, because the first one is,
the first one's July 9th already.
Yep.
Davina and the Vagabonds. I'm so excited for this one.
Wait. Yes.
We've wanted her to be here for several years, so it worked out really well. And then on July 23rd, we had Vincent and Gala. Oh, my gosh. He's going to be great. August 6th, the Flat Cats. And then August 20th, special EFX All-Stars. There's like five different people that are going to be playing at that one. The tickets are incredibly reasonable. Season tickets, you can have $120. You get all four concerts.
That's amazing.
Or you can buy them individually. It is up to you, but we've got over 1,200 season tickets already sold. Come join us on the lake on Wednesdays in the summer.
Absolutely.
Can't wait.
Absolutely. That it is just so wonderful, and that's been going on so many years.
38th year this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I remember the first one. Oh, wow. Well, Beth, thank you so much. This has been so – we can't wait for you to come back again because there's just so much going on.
Whenever you want me, Marcia.
Let's hope we can get you in maybe one more time before summer's over.
Okay.
But I really appreciate you being here. Thanks for all of your sharing. And everybody, get out to the Racine Zoo. You cannot imagine how wonderful everything is there.
I appreciate it, Marcia. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for joining us today on Community Matters. We'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Whether you need information about Medicare, housing options, home care, or accessible transportation, the ADRC is the place to start. Their services are free. Call 262-605-6646.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, I speak with Ronald Gruner, author of COVID Wars, America's Struggle Over Public Health and Personal Freedom. He takes a methodical and thoughtful look at what our country experienced during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in particular, looks at some of the ways in which we became an even more sharply and painfully divided nation, and how that had ramifications in terms of our response to this crisis. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.